I was telling, instead of saying everything, you can see the closer is better.
Glad you're here. Not just that, but I'm glad you're here. Period. I was thinking of suggesting that you please come. Just super soul read my mind.
Thank you.
You can. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Bhagavate. Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
This morning is going to be much simpler than yesterday. Yesterday was really involved or complex or something. So we're continuing same set of verses. Prakshit's inquiry after the hearing this narration from Shukadeva Goswami of what Mother Yashoda saw and how she responded, and her the nature of her love for Krishna is super excellent. Jiva Goswami's really short Kramasandarbha commentary. Prakshit Maharaj inquired, what pious acts the volume is up next?
No, we can put higher.
Okay. That makes it easier. What pious acts did Nanda perform to cause such affection? And what pious acts did the most fortunate Yashoda perform so that the Lord drank from her breast? Because, you know, Nanda... Anyway, yeah. From this verse until 21 of the next chapter is a glorification of Yashoda, Jiva Goswami. And Jiva Goswami, from his Krishna Sandarbha, wait a minute, I may have to go back up. One moment. Krishna Sandarbha, 183. The people of Vraja were not aware of time because of their great bliss. Vrajati nahi yatrapi samaya. Time does not pass there. That's a nice way of saying time is eternal. Time does not pass there. Overcome with the bliss of Krishna's arrival, they think, he has come today. Just as one enters the mood of the prakat pastimes, in the aprakat saraswati pastimes, I'll explain. So one enters the mood of individual manifestations in mantra-pasana-mayi pastimes. The condition of Ganga is present in a series of its lakes. In both cases, they are regarded equally, namely Gopa, Gopika, Sange, Yatra kridati kamsaha. That is, the killer Kamsa plays in Vraja in association with the gopis. Govinda, Gopijana Balabesha, Kamsa Shuragna. Oh, Govinda, Lord of the gopis, killer of Kamsa and Agha. That's taken from Padma Purana. As in the sva rasika. So also in the mantra-upasana mayi pastimes, one meditates on the son of Nanda. That gives the Sanskrit from Gautamiya Tantra. The devata of the mantra is the son of Nanda, auspicious for the whole world. Is the Sanskrit. Sakala loka mangalo nandagopa tanayo devata. I'll explain, we'll just finish this section. As in the sva rasika, so in the mantra pasana mayi pastimes, one meditates on the son of Nanda, we read that. Since special moods of the prakat pastimes enter into the aprakat pastimes, appearance and disappearance pastimes are also described in the aprakat experience. Interesting, huh? But as one event, not many, this is not so simple. Even though they have awareness of previously experiencing these events in time without beginning, Krishna repeatedly appears in this world in order to reinforce and refresh that mood. Paragraph. Thus it was shown that Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. He manifests most excellently in Gokula. He shows great powers there. Colon, he showed himself to be the Lord of millions of universes. The single form of rasa composed of existence, knowledge, and unlimited bliss. He is full of compassion, giving the position of a mother to Putana. He is full of sweetness. The queens of Dwara. We desire the same contact with the Supreme Lord's feet that the young women of Vraja, the cowherd boys, and even the aborigine Pulanda women desire, the touch of the dust he leaves on the plants and grass as he tends the cows. That's from Canto 10, Chapter 83. This statement is suitable because it indicates the special nature of the sweetness revealed in the gopis, endowed with the highest prema, endowed with the good fortune to touch his feet. Thus, it is also said, quote, "Dear Krishna, what woman in all the three worlds wouldn't deviate from religious behavior when bewildered by the sweet, drawn-out melody of your flute? Your beauty makes all the three worlds auspicious, even the cows, birds, trees, and deer manifest ecstatic symptoms of bodily hair standing on end when they see your beautiful form." Again, that's chapter 83. He performs intimate pastimes. This is praised. And this is now our verses, Canto 10, Chapter 8, Text 47. Great devotees sing of the activities of Krishna in his childhood, which Vasudeva and Devaki could not experience, and which even today destroy the sins of all people. And again from chapter 11. O King Parikshit, when Rama and Krishna saw Vrindavan, in this case Rama means Balarama, saw Vrindavan, Govardhan, and the banks of the river Yamuna, they both enjoyed great pleasure. His associates are the greatest. Here the Sanskrit begins, Aho Bhagyam, Aho Bhagyam, Nandagopa, Vrajanau Kasam. You gotta say it twice. Aho Bhagyam, Aho Bhagyam. How greatly fortunate are Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd man, and all the other inhabitants of Vrajabhumi. There is no limit to their great fortune because Krishna gave them prema, which is the highest bliss, eternal and complete. And that's Brahma's Prayers, chapter 14. After the Brahma Vimohan Lila. And then from chapter 12, definitely not sequential here, but it's very logical. In this way, with an abundance of splendor caused by Krishna, the cowherd boys played with him, who was pure consciousness, known as Brahman for the Jnanis, who was the Supreme Lord for the devotees with Dasya Bhava, and who was an ordinary child for those covered by material illusion. That's from chapter 12, that's the section that's just before the killing of Agasura. The beginning of the chapter is the cowherd boys go out to play, and they just play like little boys with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then again, this verse, text 46 of chapter 8. What pious acts did Nanda perform to cause such affection? And what pious acts did most fortunate Yashoda perform so that the Lord drank from her breast? Then this is chapter 47. Among all persons on earth, these cowherd women alone have attained perfect bodies, for they have achieved Maha Bhava for Govinda, the source of all forms of the Lord. Their pure love is described by those who fear material existence, by great sages, and by ourselves as well. For one who has tasted the narrations of the infinite Lord, what is the use of taking birth as high-class brahmanas, or even as Brahma himself? So that's chapter 47. Chapter 44. What worship must the gopis have performed? With their eyes, they always drink the nectar of Krishna's form, which is the essence of loveliness and is not to be equaled or surpassed. That loveliness is the only abode of beauty, fame, and opulence. It is self-perfect, ever fresh, and extremely rare. The Sanskrit is very nice too. He displays the highest limits with the gopis. This is now the Rasalila section, chapter 33. Krishna, though naturally endowed with all powers, appeared most brilliant in the midst of the dancing gopis, like a sapphire in the midst of golden gems. So now we'll go back up to this section. This is now Krishna Sandarbha. Remember what Krishna Sandarbha is doing. It's expanding on 1.3.28 that Swami Bhagavan Krishna is the source of everything. He's the source of all avatars, specifically it says, but he's the source of everything. He's the absolute truth in the absolute sense of the absolute truth, including the Vishnu Tattva forms. So, I'll explain what this sa rasaki term and mantrapasana term mean. It's terms that Jiva Goswami uses in Sri Brahma Samhita that makes its way to Bhaktisiddhanta's commentary, Brahma Samhita in English. And it goes like this. And Prabhupada mentions mantra upasana also. So, that what it is there are certain mantras, Jiva Goswami explains, which are mantra upasana. Upasana, you know the meaning, worship. Mantra upasana, mantra upasana. It's a sloka or a mantra that by meditating upon that mantra, one is meditating on an image in the mind of a particular pastime. Like there's a nice painting, and paintings are illustrating a mantra. So this is, you know, his Makhanchur Lila, and there's the gopis in the back. And the mantra is depicting the pastime. But it's like, you know, snapshot. It's not the flow of the pastime. It's just the pastime in a particular mantra. So mantra upasana is a type of worship, upasana, of Krishna through mantra. And one may meditate on the mantra, just like an example of this is Madhavendra Puri. We read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there was a certain mantra that he recited again and again and again and again and again and again. And by reciting that mantra again and again, he immersed himself in the mood of the gopis feeling separation from Krishna. What do I do now? No, this is an expression of sadness, but it's an ecstasy in separation. Jiva Goswami says there are certain mantras within Brahma Samhita that are mantras like that. So that's mantra upasana. Then Jiva Goswami explains that it's like entering a lake. And lakes are formed sometimes, commonly, by the flow of a river. So the river indents over here, and there's a lake over here, like, you know, the Kaliya Lake is an example. It's a lake. Or in the evening, we're hearing about the Brahma Hrada. The place where the residents of Braja were taken, the men, cowherd men, were taken to the place, same place where Akura went in the river Jamuna, and he showed them Goloka. So lake is sometimes formed by rivers. So Jiva Goswami says, if you immerse yourself in a lake, that's what mantra upasana is like. You immerse yourself in a particular image and mood within that image of a pastime of Krishna. But a further stage of mantra upasana is you move from the lake into the flow of the river. And as the river is flowing, you can not only envision in your mind's eye that a particular pastime, but you can experience and even enter into the pastimes. And that stage is called Svarasaki. And he's making reference. This is Jiva Goswami's Krishna Sandarbha commentary, so these terms mean something to him. Here he's not explaining it, but it's explained in Brahma Samhita what the terms mean. And Jiva Goswami says, writes, that even today there are persons that have this Svarasaki capacity. Prabhupada mentions in his Bhagavatam commentary the term mantrapasana. And he speaks about it in relation to, or writes about it, in relation to the Gajendra Moksha pastime. So the king in Dumla became a an elephant. And as he was bathing as an elephant, the crocodile chomped on his leg and he couldn't get free. Big battle for 100 years, and he was getting weaker. And then Super Soul reminded him of the prayers or mantras, more commonly the word is stotras, that he recited as King Indradumna. And it just came to his mind, Super Soul prompted. And Prabhupada explains, we should also, in addition to the Hare Krishna mantra, there should be mantras or stotras or prayers that we recite regularly. That's mantra upasana. And even if you, in your next life, you become an animal, we're not supposed to become animals, but it might happen, who knows. And if you, even you become an animal, that access is there because of the mantra upasana practice that you performed as, Hare Krishna devotees in ISKCON. And he didn't explain that mantra upasana term, but he explained the principle when he made a recording way back in, whenever it was, 1967 or 68 or something like that. It was even earlier. Anyway, whatever the year was, he recorded in a recording studio in New York the Govinda prayers. And we didn't know nothing from nothing, but he recorded the Govinda prayers. And he says at the end, a little English presentation, saying one should enter into the spirit of this hymn as a regular daily function. That's called mantrapasana. And mantrapasana, when done nicely and matured, becomes svarasaki, where you can not only see, but you can participate in Krishna's pastimes. Now, that's aprakat, or the unmanifest pastimes. You may, if Krishna is very kind, you may be eligible to see and participate in his aprakat pastimes. So now I'm going to read Jiva Goswami's commentary again, now that we're clear what the terms mean. Just as one enters the mood of the prakat pastimes, in the aprakat saraswati pastimes, so one enters the mood of individual manifestations in mantrapasana mayi pastimes. The condition of the Ganga is present in a series of its lakes. In both cases, that's the Ganga and the series of lakes, they are regarded equally. Go gopa gopika sange yatra kridati kamsaha. The killer of Kamsa plays in Braja in association with the gopis. And Govinda Gopijana Balamesha Kamsa Suragna. Oh, Govinda, Lord of the gopis, killer of Kamsa and Agha. That's Padma Purana. Now, apparently, that's both of these verses are from Padma Purana. It doesn't specify that, but quite likely. And that's so. That's an example of mantropasana. As in the Sarasakhi, so in the mantropasana, Mayi pastimes, one meditates on the son of Nanda. He's the object, we're the subject, and then there's the connection, the worship through meditation on mantra. These are advanced stages of bhakti, but we're meant to get there, right? Eventually. Sakala loka mangavo nanda gopa tanayo devata. The devata of the mantra is the son of Nanda. Auspicious for the whole world. That's Gotamiya Tantra again. So the devata of the mantra. A nice example that I'm guessing everybody in the room here is familiar with is Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Anybody not familiar with Brihat Bhagavatamrita? So in the part two, it's Gopa Kumar, and he's given a mantra by his spiritual master, and the devata or the Ishta Dev or the person who the mantra is addressing is Madan Gopal. He's the devata. So Gotamiya Tantra is saying the devata of the mantra is the son of Nanda, auspicious for the whole world. Now that's Madan Gopal is the son of Nanda, but it's, you know, a specific feature of the son of Nanda, and nothing was sufficient for Madan, for Gopal Kumar, other than Madan Gopal. That's a requirement for experiencing mantropasana or being successful in chanting Gayatri and chanting mantras and hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're not there yet, but it's the purification and attraction combination is meant to take us there. So here's some more of this terminology. Since special moods of the prakat pastimes enter into aprakat pastime, appearance and disappearance pastimes are also described in the aprakat experience. But as one event, not many. No explanation of what that sentence means, other than the first part. There's this overlap of pastimes and moods of pastimes. There is no birth of Krishna in Goloka. There's no departure of Krishna in Goloka. But there's a mood. Krishna is our son, although there's no birth pastime, as there is in his benefit in prakat pastime. But there's a sweetness in the prakat pastime that's not there otherwise, because everyone we get to hear about Krishna's appearance, conditioned souls get to hear, which we wouldn't hear if it was so. And the disappearance pastime is also pretty fantastic. And it require, both require explanation of qualified bhaktas or acharyas to explain them to us. But there's something similar. He goes on, even though they have awareness of previously experiencing these events in time without beginning, previously experiencing these events in time without beginning, as if they have the mood as if it happened, previously experiencing events that occur in the absence of time. What's an event that's in the absence of time? We don't have any experience of it. We have experience of events in time. Here we are, and you know, somewhere we were somewhere else, and now we're here, and then we're going to be somewhere else. So those are events in time. Or, you know, just walk across the floor. It takes time to walk across the floor. Past, present, future, taking a passage of time. So what's an event that's without passage of time? It's Nityalila, that's what it is. And there's this sense that it happened previously, Krishna's appearance. Where do they get that sense? It's not through passage of time. It's the consciousness of that prevails in the spiritual world. That is the sense of something, although there's no passage of time. It's maya. The sense of something that didn't happen. It's maya, but it's yoga maya, not the kind that we're too familiar with. Krishna repeatedly appears in this world in order to reinforce and refresh that mood. Thus, it was shown that Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. He manifests most excellently in Gokula. He shows great powers there. Now, so I wanted to read that section of Prakat Pastimes. Our acharyas explain this over and over. It's a good thing they explain it over and over because it's not easy to understand. And then how to experience what they're explaining. Well, there's a procedure also. I'll just read a little bit more. It's two more passages from Krishna Sandarbha, and then we'll end for the morning. This is Jiva Goswami again, making reference to having heard of the great fortune of Mother Yashoda, Prikshit Maharaj became astonished and inquired from Shukadeva Goswami, "Oh, learned Brahmana, Mother Yashoda's breast milk was sucked by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What past auspicious activities did she and Nanda Maharaj perform to achieve such perfection in ecstatic love?" That's all he writes. And then the later, in again, Krishna Sandarbha. He makes reference to this verse. The Lord's associates are also glorified in the following verse, 10:8:46. " having heard of the great fortune of Mother Yashoda, Prakshit inquired from Shukadeva Goswami. Same. I think we'll end here. How are we doing with time? It's already 8:15. Katayantashchamam dityam tushanti cha ramanti cha. These activities of hearing our great acharyas churn the topics of Krishna for advanced devotees, those trying to become situated like that, it's tushanti cha ramanti cha. Tushti, one feels satisfied, and ramanti, one feels bliss. We're, you know, feeling puzzled maybe. Not necessarily satisfied at bliss, but by the sound vibration has this effect of taking us to Krishna, taking us out of time, out of our troubles and, you know, things, dealing with you know, happiness and distress and, you know, material problems and things. At least if we're attentively hearing, it transports us, the sound transports us to Krishna, into that realm of timelessness, etc., etc. And by regular practice of doing this, then the heart becomes cleansed and misgivings are removed, and the natural happiness that's within, we can start to experience. Yesterday evening, after the evening class, there was this Zoom discussion with some students from Singapore, NUS, National University of Singapore. And one of the questions was related, you know, how do we prepare ourselves for achieving bhava? Wasn't exactly those words, but that was the question. And we're doing it. You know, the proper carrying out of practices of sadhana bhakti lead to purification, and purification leads to awakening the original consciousness of the soul, and eventually on the other side of anartas and into the stage of steadiness and so forth. Taste, attachment. So just take the word attachment, letting go of our attachments to the temporary and developing attachments to the eternal, or to the form of Krishna, to the name of Krishna, to the activities of Krishna, to the moods of loving exchange that Krishna engages with his devotees in his pastimes. These are prakat pastimes. It carries us there, along with, you know, all the other things, worship, making offerings of garlands and nice things to the deities, having the sunshine in the window and seeing the light, and etc. So the regulative activities of bhakti have such potencies. You know, what's the obstacle? It's our stubborn mind and offenses, because we hear from Nectar Devotion, if any of these five primary activities, we're doing one of them, and we do the other, at least three of the others, we do four. And if we can't reside in Vrindavan or a holy place, we can hanker for that opportunity that's quite similar spiritually. Without offense, any one of them can awaken bhava. I want to speak of combination. So offense is standing in the way, and the consequence of offense is anartha's in the heart. And so that's what's blocking us. So we have some work to do, some cleanup and awakening, removal of unwanted and awakening of wanted. The process is very simple and very sublime, very natural. One's going to hear about something, one's going to remember something, etc. So to make those topics, these Bhagavad Katha topics, there's a nice concluding, just sharing. There's a nice reference in Bhakti Kashmaraj's book on Bhakti Siddhanta, where he regularly spoke about the importance of Hari Katha. He regularly spoke about the importance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement, but one of his followers commented, although he spoke about Sankirtan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's congregational chanting of the holy name, he personally was not renowned for being a kirtanier of harmonium and things that all of our devotees like. But he was particularly renowned for his Harikatha. And so he taught like this, that the chanting of the holy name, Nama Prabhu, does not stand alone. Just like we don't worship Krishna alone, we worship Krishna with Radha. It's incomplete without the worship of Radha. So, similarly, chanting of the holy name is incomplete without Harikatha. The Harikatha is the Swarup Shakti of Krishna, which makes sense. The Vedas are feminine, and the topics of Krishna are feminine, or his Swarup Shakti, and Shaktiman go together. We worship Shakti and Shaktiman together. We worship the holy name by the worship of Harikatha. That's just, it's connected to the mantra upasana. The mantra is feminine, and the feminine has a presiding deity, the object of the mantra. And the son of Nanda is that object, or Madan Gopal is that object, or Yasoda Nandana, just like our Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari verse there, or we sing every following our founder Acharya. It says names of Krishna and Vrindavan. He's the object. And that sound vibration has, besides it's very sweet and melodious, it has potencies. And it goes very well with Srimad Bhagavatam, the person and his Harikatha. Let's see if there's some comments or questions here. Whoever's in the room comes first, and then we'll see if there's something online after that. I'm looking at Kuvera.
As we hear about the lot of kathas of Krishna, and some of them are prakatila and some of them are aprakatila. So how the aprakatila comes into existence? Is there some just realization of somebody?
How does the aprakat come into existence? Well, the aprakat, this is a simple form. Aprakat is nitya lila. And so, and the nitya lila in the unmanifest stage become manifest in the prakat. And there's features in the prakat that are not found in the aprakat. Like, this is Bhakti Vinod, like killing of demons, the birth of Krishna, and so forth. He has another term besides Nitya, Lila, is Naimitika Lila, or occasional pastimes. So, but we heard there's a mood like that in the unmanifest pastimes, but there's no actual birth of Krishna. There's no demons, but there's a mood, a bhava. Okay. Yeah.
Maharaj, the sandarbhas that we are talking, I understood the subject matter is Srimad Bhagavatam. So, like, just like Vyasadeva was in his mature stage and instruction by Narada has written the Bhagavatam, was Jiva Goswami also in that mood has written the commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam?
In which mood? Which mood?
Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions or...
Well, of course he's in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions, which he received from Rupa, which he got from Lord Chaitanya.
So the commentary is just by Jiva Goswami, or is like from different sources, or...
It's realized knowledge, but he draws from other sources. Specifically, he spells it out in Tattvasandarbha. The first part of Tattvasandarbha is his writing, where he states the means of knowing Krishna is the Bhagavatam. You go through Pramana Kanda. Then there's a break. Then he explains the rest of the Sandarbhas are going to have the following format. And he gives the format. It's like what scholars do. He makes a declaration, part one. Part two, he supports the declaration with verses from the Bhagavatam. And then three, he draws upon other references from, and he names the sources, like scholars will do. You know, at the end, here's my bibliography. But he doesn't write at the beginning. My sources are going to be, and he names them. Sridhar Swami, at his commentary in the Bhagavatam, is a principal one, because the emphasis that Lord Chaitanya gave. So, he draws from others, but it's his realization. So it's Guru Sadhu Shastra support his realization. His realization is not floating in space, it's linked and supported by. Does that answer your question?
Mentioned about mantra upasana, where basically with the hymn we meditate on the pastime, right? Something
like that, yeah.
So, I mean, Hare Krishna mantra is also a mantra.
Yes.
So when we meditate, when we chant the Maha Mantra, I mean,
it's not mantra upasana. That's not the type of mantra it is.
So we shouldn't meditate on any pastimes when we are doing the chanting. We should
meditate on the sound of the name, because everything is there. Okay?
So the mantra upasana that we talked about in going on to Prabhu's class, like with this virus thing and all that, now I don't have the discipline of going and taking darshan like every day, and I'm losing that taste of, oh, I should go see the deities. And but now that you talked about mantra upasana, is it safe to assume that if I cultivate some sort of a longing that yes, I have to take darshan, maybe I'll open up the WhatsApp group where the images come and look up. Is that also sort of mantra upasana that you're meditating and seeing, I want to see the deities? And
it's not the same. It's a meditation for sure. But it's not mantra upasana is specific. It's a type of meditation, and you're describing a type of it, another type of meditation. It's not the same type of meditation. It's not to say this is better and that's lesser or something like that. It's just not the same. Might. Yes. Yes, Krishna Swarup Shakti.
Would the Maha Mantra be categorized the same thing or differently?
Maha Mantra is the Shaktiman.
Shaktiman, okay.
And so along with worshipping Shaktiman, we hear Hari Katha. You had your hand up? Did you have your hand up? Are you want to speak something?
Yes.
Go ahead.
In the beginning, when you were saying, we were talking about Gopi's prema very nicely, but when people were thinking about Krishna as a chain.
People thinking of Krishna as?
As a chain.
Chain?
Chain.
Child.
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 Child. So you were mentioning they are actually materially conscious or associated. I did not get that part of that.
Not the gopis, but they're materialists. They're materialists that look upon Krishna's pastimes as mundane. Those people, not the gopis in Braja. Is that okay? Okay.
One more.
Yeah.
So is the mantra upasana is just like our Gayatri mantra? It's like in the beginning I was told that when you do the Gayatri mantra, you start actually
It's different than mantra upasana. It's a form of mantra meditation for sure. It's different. Mantra upasana is specific. It's a particular pastime depicted in mantra. That's what it is. Okay. Yes.
When we hear the commentaries read by you and discussed a little bit in this association, perhaps we are a little puzzled, but then the puzzlement kind of desists and we feel some
clarity.
You said clarity, satisfaction, pleasure in such discussions. So my question is, what would be the proper protocol for one who wants to read some of the Acharya's commentaries but has not finished Prabhupada's books? Should they limit it to
to
just these sorts of sanghas, or
limit it to what?
Sanghas like this one in the Association of Senior Devotees, or should they get into it on their own? Or
no. And I would say even this procedure, let's say it this way. From my discussions with Keshav Bharati Maharaj, he's fixed in Prabhupada's books. And that means I don't feel the need to read other things other than Prabhupada's books. I mean, I'm sure you're all aware of that mood and that preference. So this may be disturbing to him that you're having classes where you're hearing other things besides Prabhupada's books. I don't know if he'll feel like that. You could ask him. And if so, then, you can excuse yourselves and don't attend because it's not the kind of training he would like for you. But when you read Prabhupada's books, when I read Prabhupada's books, he makes references, for example, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, those who are interested should read the Sandarbha or Jiva Goswami. So now what do you do? So now, this is me, not Kesha Bharati Maharaj, your authority. So I respect whatever he wishes for you. But my position is that you become thoroughly familiar with Prabhupada's books before you begin exploring even what Prabhupada says in his books. Become familiar with something or something or something. And when occasions like this come, wow, you know, when you have become familiar with Prabhupada's books, you'll become aware where he said in an essence form, things that we're discussing in detail, it's there, not there. But you have to unpack it. At least for me, I find this helps me understand better what's in Prabhupada's books and appreciate that he's given his essence in his books. So there's some reluctance on my part to read these things because it may lead to persons that are not conversant in Prabhupada's book to start read other things and get confused. Even if it's the writings of our acharyas, your faith goes to where you hear from. For me, you know, not a problem. My faith in Prabhupada is not immature, nor is Kesha Bharati Maharaj's faith in Prabhupada immature. He just has this preference, I don't want to read anything else. And I have a liking for appreciating what's in Prabhupada's books by reading things that he said to read. So, that's a long answer to your question. You know, I certainly don't recommend just go off and read commentaries. You know, it's somewhere that's maybe in between Gurijan Prabhu, because he makes reference and he summarizes the essence of what's in Prabhupada's purports, and as appropriate makes references to commentaries that illuminate what Prabhupada says, and it's very clear the connection is illuminating what Prabhupada says. And I'm not making that same effort. Although Prabhupada gave us, you know, Bhakti Siddhanta's Brahma Samhita commentary in English, which mentions Swarasakhi and Mantravasana, and he wrote it in his Bhagavatam. So what is it? And how does it connect with the you know, Canto 10, Chapter 8, Text 47? So it's just embellishing, expanding, but it, you know, then thus connecting. That's what happens for me. And I can't say what happens for others. But I would recommend for others, don't go reading commentaries. That's, you know, stay focused, hunker down on basics with Prabhupada's books and be happy along with your chanting of the mantra and Hare Krishna mantra and you doing your services. That's my recommendation. Okay. Online.
We have a couple questions. First one is from Cynthia Green, Harry. If everyone in Goloka are eternally serving Krishna, does this mean that none of us are actually originally from Goloka?
No, it doesn't mean that. Next question.
Is it possible to attain a position there even if we did not originally come from Goloka?
Well, that's a very interesting hypothetical question, but let's reword the question. We're not there now. Can we attain there? Yes. Next.
Next one is from Sundar Gopal Prabhu. Guru Maharaj, what constitutes mantra upasana for us? Can you please elaborate or repeat for me?
Yeah, Brahma Samhita. That's an example. Or, you know, and that's it. That's good enough. And if there are specific verses from the Bhagavatam that you cherish, that can also be. The verses specifically, not just the philosophical ones, their favorite philosophical ones, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, but specific to pastimes of Krishna in one way or another, and then go with it. That's how it worked for us.
Next one is from Uttama Bhakta Prabhu. Mahamantra is not just meditation on the holy names, but also with meaning. Is that right?
Well, everything is with meaning. The holy name has meaning. And there's a meaning to the mantra. In simple terms, please engage me in service. Or in Prabhupada's words also, please accept me. But that's, accept me means what? Please engage me in your service. There's meaning. And then you can expand that meaning into everything. Life of devotion to Krishna. Go ahead.
Next one is from Prakash Narayan Govindan.
Okay.
On the topic of purification of anardas and the sadhana bhakti process, the service of outreach is purifying. Even planning for outreach service is purifying.
Yes.
Does outreach fit into any of the 9 processes of bhakti, shravanam,
yeah,
kirtanam, mishnam, etc., directly or indirectly?
Kirtanam. Directly. That's it.
One more. From a Sanchari. The Mahamantra is fully transcendental. Is it the only mantra that is present in the entirety of the spiritual world, including the Vaikuntha planets?
No.
Or is it only present in Goloka?
No.
If so, why do we have so many bona fide traditions that have different mantras?
Okay, well, it's not so. Srila Prabhupada ki?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Swami Prabhupada, Swami Prabhupada.